Compass FM with Steph. Pete Daly, Journey Planner, Road Safety Coordinator from Waimakere District Council. G'day, Pete. How
Morning,
are you?
Morning, Steph. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Beautiful day in North Canterbury.
Yeah, cracker day. I tell you what is challenging for me, I noticed. The other day I was heading into town. It was about 5:30. Beaut day. Awful for sunscreen, sunshine on the blinking window.
Sunstrike, I think you're trying to say.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's that time of year when the sun is at a certain angle. It's lower in the sky than it is during the summer. Of course it is. We've got lots of big long straight roads where you can get sunstrike. You're going down a road and the cars that are in the side roads don't know that you can't see them.
Yeah.
So, you know, line side road, tram road, any of these roads, the ones that run east-west tend to be real bad in the morning and real bad in the evening.
And so I would suggest pull over if that situation happens, right? And find something in your car. Look, even if it's your T-shirt, clean the inside of your window if it's dirty.
Yeah, well, all of those are good things. Yeah. The other option is you can not outdrive what you can see.
Yeah.
So if you can't see anything, well, honestly, should you still be doing 80 k's an hour down a road if you can't
slow down,
if you can't
or
see,
pull over, check your emails, wait for the sun to go down a little bit? I don't know.
Absolutely. And just accept, because a couple of days then, a couple of days later, if you're before that time or after that time, the world's turned a little bit more and it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, but on that given day, the last thing you want to do is be driving down the road, can't see anything, and someone pulls out in front of you. You know?
Yeah.
And raging about, oh, they shouldn't have pulled out in front of me. Yeah, that's true. But when you're in the back of an ambulance with a broken arm and a broken leg and a ruptured spleen, none of that matters.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. Hey, so today, Pete, we thought we'd talk about strategies for avoiding a traffic ticket. This is like the million-dollar question, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is, though, eh? I just reflect back. I'd spent lots of time in the police and doing road policing stuff, and I've written a bunch of tickets over the years. And one incident I do remember is on a road down in the back of St Albans, I had a laser, checked the speed of a car at 72, and it was a couple of hundred metres away when you check it. You know, you're not right next to a car when you check its speed. It's up the road, coming towards 72. The driver of the car pulled over, happened to be a lady, not that it matters, and the first thing she said to me was, "You're only picking on me because I'm the particular race that she was."
Right.
Now, as it happened, she was a lady from East Asia, and "You're only picking on me because I'm Asian." Now, when someone's 200 metres away, you actually can't tell what race they are.
And it's not the person in the car, it's the speed that the car's
that's
doing.
The thing, you know, so the best response I could give her was, "Well, actually, I'm picking on you because you were doing 72 in a 50k area."
Yeah.
But it's really, really normal for people to, when they're accused of something, to want to project that onto someone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the cop because he's got a quota to meet or XYZ, you know. The avoidance of tickets thing, it's kind of, how do you avoid getting traffic tickets? Well, what I noticed over the years is all of the people who got seatbelt tickets, it tended to be because they weren't wearing their seatbelt. So,
strange that.
And there's a pattern forming. I'm seeing this because people who get cell phone tickets, it's generally because they're using their cell phone
while they're driving.
So it's one of those things where people, I really wish people would sort of take responsibility and just look at the nature of enforcement around the place and just accept that it is what it is and stick to the rules. It's actually not that hard.
And the rules are there to keep not just you safe, but the people that you might have a crash with.
You don't
set out to you know, have a crash at all.
No, and people who don't exceed the speed limit don't get speeding tickets. I mean, it's that simple. And it's there's a story in the paper this morning about a speed camera down in a school zone outside Dunedin, and it flashed some horrific number of people exceeding 30 k's an hour. Now, it's been signposted for months. The police went and stuck a speed camera there, and it was taking something like 7 photos a minute.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot. And that's a lot of people exceeding
concerning.
That 30 k's an hour. Now, those 30 k's an hour speed limits are set outside schools because kids do silly things outside schools. You know, there's a greater concentration of vulnerable road users.
Yeah.
So they put the speed limit down so that, you know, if you happen to come in contact with someone, you know, with a child or with an adult for that matter, outside the school, there's a far greater chance that they're not going to get hurt or killed. Now, we all live with this perception that it's not going to happen to us. Mm. You know, we've been driving around for years. We've never had a crash. Therefore, we're never going to have a crash. Well, that's actually not quite right.
It's almost, sadly, a little bit of that she'll be right, mate, type attitude that's still there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate. Just about everyone who ever had a crash that I attended over the years, if I'd said to them, did you know you were going to crash? They'd have said no. Mm. Because if they had known they were going to crash, they would have changed something to avoid it.
Yeah.
Well, the opportunity exists for all just to change that thing now.
Mm.
You know, just a little bit more cautious, possibly sticking with the speed limits, always wearing your seatbelt, not using your cell phone. You know, and not driving after you've had a couple of drinks. It's just, there are so many things that people can do to avoid being that person. Now, no one ever thinks, when they've had a couple of beers on a Friday night for the last 20 years, none of them ever think that they're going to get picked up for drink driving.
Mm.
Until they do.
Yeah.
You know, and there's 3,500 people in Canterbury every year get picked up for drink driving.
And then they seem surprised by that.
Yeah. And, you know, all sorts of disappointed and, you know, the cops this and the cops that and the judge is a bad guy, all that sort of thing. But the reality is, if people didn't drink and drive, they wouldn't get caught drinking and driving. Simple as that.
And it's a responsibility, your responsibility, not the police officer's responsibility, which is what the police have to pick up, right? We're trying to hold, you're trying to hold people responsible for their actions and what
I just kind of feel like people need to have a look in a mirror and recognize that it's actually them.
Yeah.
Now, none of us think that we're the problem, eh?
Mm,
you know, like none of us think we need to change.
Yeah.
But actually, if everyone did play by the rules and did have a bit more consideration for other road users, there would be far less grief out on the roads.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I'm talking to Pete Daly, journey planner from Waimakere District Council and Road Safety Coordinator. Pete, I tell you what, since my two eldest kids have been driving and they're now both fully licensed drivers, my driving has definitely changed. It's brought back in focus for me things that maybe I just sort of, you know, maybe let slide a little bit, you know, watching, it sounds random, watching my positioning in the road. When I do look down at the stereo, what's happening for me, you know, am I slightly, you know, those sort of things.
Yeah.
And because we drive in what is predominantly quite fast speed zones and keep checking your speed. I tell you what though, I've been driving around recently to take the young one to football practice and I'm disappointed in the fact that I have got cars up my weewa while I'm sticking to the 30k limit and they're not looking very happy with me around these roadworks. We've got to protect the road workers, right?
It's kind of frustrating when you're driving around in a council car. You stick to speed limits because I've got electronic monitoring in them, so you know, we stick to speed limits because you get the nasty gram if you're found to be exceeding the speed limit, right? So we stick to the speed limits. And that happens quite a bit. You slow down to 30 through roadworks and you'll have someone stuck right up your wee-wah.
Yeah, wee-wah, for the word of a better terminology.
I do understand that.
Yes.
If everyone just could accept that there are speed limits for a reason normally, and the driver may not know the reason, you know, like when a road surface is laid, the fastest people go over that, the more damage is done to that road surface.
And the longer it's going to be before they finish.
The longer it's going to take until they finish it. The time that they'll take out of the lifespan of that by driving over new surfaces too quickly.
Yeah.
That's why often you'll see a roadwork site where there's 30 k's up and people working. The people finish for the day, they go home. It stays at 30 k's to protect that road surface that they've put down.
You know? And the other thing I was also finding was it was still 30 k's, quite a wee way sort of, you know, past that,
beyond
obviously,
it,
you know, beyond it. And then it became 80. So it went 30 to 80. And so I was literally, because, you know, I've been refreshed with my road rules.
Yep.
And you're not allowed to do 80 until you actually start increasing your speed at that sign.
Well, the 80 k's done garden start until you get to the site.
Exactly. You know? But I hear people, you know, I'm up my trying to, you know, push me along forward. And I'm like,
yeah, well, all of this goes to the fact that we've come to expect that there will be a tolerance.
I think people decide whether they feel it's, oh, well, look, I'm past that now. I'm just going to ignore that. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? But anyway, we could talk about that for days, actually, couldn't we, Pete? Hey, thanks so much for coming in today. Pete Daly, Journey Planner and Road Safety Coordinator from Waimak District Council. Look forward to seeing you next month.
Beauty. Thanks
very much.
Compass FM.